So welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here this evening and this weekend with us. My name's Juna, and I'm a long-time student of T.S. Little and his wife, Surya Little, and of their school, Prajna Yoga. And I'm also teaching the Dharma and Yoga teacher training here at Spirit Rock, which is a five-month training integrating the Dharma and Yoga. And so we've just had our first 5 days. We finished at 5 and we started at 9 this morning. So if the front row just is laid out at the end, you'll no judgment. But it's been a really wonderful week. And just so happy to have Tias, my teacher, here this weekend. It's really such a treat. And Tias is a long time practitioner of yoga as well as the Dharma, and teaches all over the country as well as internationally. And him and his wife, Surya Little, have a school, yoga and Dharma school in Santa Fe, New Mexico, called Pragna Yoga. And I think that's it. And then also to my left here is Sarah Steen, and she's a local teacher here in Fairfax, and she's also assisting the Dharma and Yoga program. So she will be doing hands-on assistant. And Serene is here as well, and also an amazing practitioner of yoga, and assisted this Dharma and Yoga training last year and has assisted me here quite a lot at Spirit Rock. So so happy to have this whole group here today.
Okay, wonderful. So good evening, everyone. And I'm really glad that you made it. Did you bring your flippers and your goggles and your scuba gear? It's supposed to rain, I think, all weekend, so that'll be good for us, because much of the work that we're going to do this weekend is about fluidity, about maintaining the fluid body, because it's the fluid body that sustains the life force. So in the yogic system, the prana is born by the fluids, and we say where there's breath, there's blood. Where there's breath, there's blood, and where there's blood, there's health. So really wonderful that that we have so much rain here at the moment. And the course this weekend is really on connective tissue, on the weave of tissue that holds us together. And this weekend we're going to look not only at the fascia, which of course is the word for connective tissue in the body, but we're going to also look at the connective tissue that holds us together collectively. That is, well, that's a good question. We could pose here at the beginning a good inquiry to start with is what is it that holds everything together? I don't pretend to have the answer by any means, but it's good to pose this question. What is the thing that holds everything else together? And may we strengthen that. May we direct our attention towards that very thing. And so we'll look at the interstitial tissue in a metaphorical sense that holds us all together. And in some ways that suggests, of course, the energy of the heart. That suggests the energy of kindness and generosity, a spirit of generosity. So really that we are held together by spirit of dana or generosity, kindness. And so I'd like to just point out to a passage on the front side of the card that's the little handout for the weekend. And we'll refer to some of these passages as we go through these 3 days together. And the second verse down is from the Tibetan tradition, the aspiration for bodhicitta. And so bodhicitta in practice is the awakened heart mind. And so we could say perhaps that it's the bodhicitta that holds us all together. And certainly that's the case if we have a family and you're raising children like I am. I have a 14-year-old son. That's quite a project for sure. And when we raise our children, we really find that we have this bodhicitta, that we bring about this quality of kindness in the way we raise our children, hopefully. But physically, we give birth from our tissue to another. And that's the case that it's been for generations and generations, is that we inherit the connective tissues of our parents. We inherit the connective tissues of our grandparents on back for generations and generations. So there's the physical connective tissues, and then there's this bodhicitta, the awakened heart mind. And this little verse in the Tibetan teaching goes like this: may the precious bodhicitta arise where it has not arisen, and where it has arisen, may it not decrease, but increase further and further. And if we put our attention, our sankalpa is the word in Sanskrit, our intention towards building, generating bodhicitta, we're able to kind of create this glue that holds us all together. And there's an expression in Zen, one of my favorites, or many little short sayings in Zen that are easily remembered. And one of them is that life hangs by a thread. Maybe you feel like your life is kind of hanging by a thread. I certainly feel that a lot of the time when I'm just barely holding it all together. It feels like the thread might break at any moment. And so life hangs by a thread. And really it's the case that when we are practicing bodhicitta, we recognize that everything is sort of hung together by threads. And it's delicate, isn't it? It's delicate. The ecosystem is delicate. The body is delicate. The technological systems we have in place are delicate. And the family that we are in is also fragile. And so really the bodhicitta is the intention to be in service of holding it all together. Holding it all together in a kind of loose and easy way. I mean, not like, you know, holding on for dear life where you start clenching your mandible and, you know, locking your teeth together and clenching your diaphragm and holding onto your pelvic floor for dear life. And sometimes when we're holding it all together, we're really, really clenching. But can we hold things together in a loose way? And that's kind of the art of practice, isn't it? To hold things together, but kind of, you know, to handle them delicately so that really we find a very delicate balance between tight and loose. One of my teachers simply called tight-loose. Sometimes you have to tighten the thread. You might have to pull on it harder with more grip and more strength. You might have to. There are times. But if we can, we hold each other in a very gentle and tender way. And so, of course, the fascia of the body, and we're going to tack back and forth between the internet of our beingness, the internet that holds all things together, and the tissues that hold our bones into place, that keep our viscera into place, that hold our glands in situ, that cradle our cranium and the hemispheres of our brain within our cranial vault. They're held together by very delicate spider-like tissue, very delicate fascia called the tentorium and the falx cerebri. And so the brain itself is held in a kind of fascial stocking, that all of the body is held in place by this connective tissue. And so when we practice yoga, we elongate connective tissue. It's one of the things we do when we practice, is we lengthen or we rotate. We rotate tissue inside, internally or externally. Or we side bend one way or side bend the other. And so it's kind of like working in clay, is we take the tissue and we mobilize it. We lubricate it. So in the yogic practices this week, we'll look to make our fascia more malleable, our connective tissues more malleable, because it's our connective tissue that holds us together. And if you study some osteopathic methodology or from the Rolfing tradition, that really the cranial sacral practitioners have the same idea, is that it's not the bones that hold us together. It's the connective tissue, it's the fascia that holds us together. So we'll work in the fascial tissues this weekend, particularly lubricating. It basically, this is like a fascial lube weekend. I was going to call that as the title. You know, come in for your fascial lube. But I'm not sure anyone would sign up for that, you know. And it's really not a jiffy lube. Because you have to slowly, especially as you get older, you have to slowly open up your connective tissues. If you're, you know, over the 50 mark, it's many of you, I can tell, including myself, then you have to take more time to open up your fascial sleeves. You can't just, like, you know, shift it into high gear and just burn through. You have to be careful. You have to make sure that your knee is in the right place and that your sacrum's in the right place and that your lumbar is in the right place. And so we can kind of get away with the jiffy loop asana through our 20s, maybe, you know. But then over time, we have to be more careful. Okay? Now, you know, if you get to the 50 mark, if you've made it that far and you keep going, really you have to practice more. You do. It takes me longer, you know, to open up my fascial sleeves. It's like, it's already 2 hours and I'm still trying to open up my hamstrings or my lower back. And I've always been a stiff guy. I'm always just, I mean, guys are stiff. Let's just call, you know, say it as it is. It's like, that's just sort of the way it goes, you know. And I'm blessed with really great stiffness, actually. And the older I get, the longer it takes me to open things up. So if you're, you know, we have to spend more time. It's really important because, see, the fascia is held together by a viscous fluid, you know. And the viscosity changes depending on the fascia in the body. Sometimes it's really thick. It's really gooey and thick. And other times it's much more thin. It's very light. But that's what holds us all together. We're basically glued together by this, by collagen, by this gluey tissue. And so we have to get in there and we mobilize it, okay? In our movement patterns, we'll do that this week. And then it's a real blessing where you can come into areas where you're glued down. You find your barrier. And I'll mention this through the course of the week, that when you find your barrier, that's when the pose begins. It's like you're doing a pose and just for somehow you get stuck in there. It's like, oh, my shoulder, oh, my lower back, or oh me hamstrings, or you know, it's you. Once you find your limitation, your restriction, that's where the dance begins. In terms of our connective tissues, our physical tissues. And then really we could think of the psyche as being held together also by a kind of interstitial tissue, that our psyche is held together. And what really holds our psyche together? Well, we'll investigate this weekend as the sensorium, what Siddhartha Gautama called the sensorium. That is, it's our sensory gates, our sensory experience that informs our identity. Our sense of self is informed by sensory experience. What we can hear, our soundscape, what we can hear and what we can see, what we can touch, is all informed. It all informs our identity. The brain itself, what some neuroscience are calling these days the black box of the brain, is nothing without the input from the sensory gates. If you don't have any sensory input, then there's really no mind. Which is why in the yogic practice and in the Mahayana teachings, is that we recognize that, oh, it's my sensory input that's really determining my thoughts. What is called the contact with the world. And so this is kind of like fascia. I mean, I'm talking about this a little more loosely now, that our psychic interior is held together by our sensory field. And so what we're going to do this weekend is work in the sensory field. We're going to go out into the field. You're going to take out your hoe and your clippers and your fertilizer bag and your pruners and, you know, and your irrigation tubing, and we're going to work in the field of our sensory awareness. Now, classical yoga involves what's called pratyahara, which basically is the closing down of the sensory gates. You know, just pull inside, and the classic image is that of the kurma. You know the word kurma in Sanskrit, right? Kurma means the tortoise. So the classic metaphor for pratyahara, or the internalization of sensory awareness, is the turtle that has a remarkable capacity to draw in its limbs. And remarkable because the tortoise lives a really long time. Was the most, you know, the greatest, the tortoise that had the greatest longevity in Madagascar was like 260 years old. And so yogis knew that the way to sustain the life is to carefully monitor the sensory field, sensory gates. So it's a little archaic to think we just pull in our senses. This weekend, I'm going to suggest really kind of honing or sort of almost heightening sensory awareness. We become much more attuned to the vibratory field in and around us. You become much more attuned to your own vibratory hum, H-U-M, or vibratory om, O-M. We become more attuned to our own inner vibratory rhythms. And now I'm trained in manual therapy of all kinds, fascial work, myofascial work, craniosacral work, visceral work. And, you know, when I have my hands on people, I can feel their vibratory rhythm. And over time, as we practice this, you can change your vibratory hum. You can change it over time. Generally, it goes from kind of more sort of coarse, a coarser vibratory rhythm to a more refined one, you know, basically more sensitive, more sensitized, more sentient, our vibratory self, our vibratory being. And if you're a parent, you teach from vibration. I mean, when I'm parenting my 14-year-old, I mean, I whisper to him and I make little sounds like shoo, 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 and, you know, and I whistle to him. And I mean, I try anything. I have a 14-year-old boy. I'll try anything to just, you know, to make contact. And so it's not just what you say. It's not just what you say. It's like how you say it and the tone of voice that you use. And unfortunately, we grow up in a milieu, oftentimes in an upbringing, in a family dynamic where there's a vibration that's really harsh. It's deleterious to our respiratory rhythm. It's deleterious to our brain function. Maybe you grew up in a family where someone had a really harsh voice and was slamming silverware, or, you know, being really aggressive with their grip. And so really, when we parent, we nurture the vibrational field of our young people. It's basically like being around horses. You know, you have to be like a horse whisperer. You know, I know nothing about horses, really. I know, you know, but it sounds right, doesn't it? You know, you have to, and if you teach yoga, it's one of the things we do is we use our vibrational energy to teach. And so we teach from loving kindness. I actively bring up my precious bodhicitta. And where it hasn't arisen, I sort of call it forward. I wake it up. I jumpstart it. And so when it's woken, I then try to amp it. I just kind of try to amp it up and push it more, you know, in a way that then it's doing the good work. It's doing the teaching. You know what I mean? So whether you're parenting or you're in a marriage and you're co-housing, is we have to use the energy of the loving kindness, that interstitial tissue that holds us together in a good way. And you have to watch out because your tissue will harden and you'll get defensive. You'll get too proud. You'll get too opinionated. You'll get too dogmatic. You'll get too, you know, aggressive. And so we have to come back to this interstitial sense of the bodhicitta that holds us all together. Okay? So really the last thing we'll do, just as this introduction here this evening, is we'll awaken the energetics of the hridaya. Hridaya in Sanskrit is the heart. The hridaya chakra. And it's a beautiful word, hridaya. Repeat after me, hridaya. 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 Oh, hridaya. Right? Hr. In Sanskrit, that's actually hrit, is the root in Sanskrit. H-R-T. It's etymologically related to the English word heart. It's the root for the heart in Sanskrit is hrit. And hridaya, ida means to give. Like the word dana, the first of the precepts, the five precepts in the Buddhist training, dana. So da means to give. And that's one of the things the heart does is it gives out, or it puts out blood to the entire body. And ya means to regulate, like the word yam in Sanskrit, yama. So what the heart does is it puts out and it helps to regulate. And so are in the practice this week, in the end, as we awaken bodhicitta, is we'll really come from the rich source of the heart. So may the precious bodhicitta arise where it has not arisen, and where it has arisen, may it not decrease but increase further and further.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.